It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, a resolution to change the way judges in Wisconsin determine cash bail passed its first vote this week. We'll talk with one of the sponsors about what would be different and hear the case for the change. First, Molly Stentz joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. The largest source of funding for WPR programs comes from listeners like you. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you count on throughout the year. Take that important step when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, hi, Rob. Good to be with you. And thank you to everyone who gave last hour. We heard from 16 new and returning members. But this hour, we have a new goal, and that goal is 10 gifts.
These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussions going strong here on the Ideas Network. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, public radio has this really unique and important funding model. It creates high-quality programming. You know, here's how it works. You make a donation of any amount voluntarily, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable to you.
It's an amazing system. You get stuff worth listening to because you step up and support it all. Make your gift right now for independent news, info, and music. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy here on Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift at 800-642-1234. That's our call-in number. 888-202-2552 is that number to call or give online at WPR.org. Make your gift right now.
You can celebrate Wisconsin's sunny days. They're coming. They're coming back, I promise. When you ask for your new WPR mug, it features this like sunshine and pine trees on it and a nice shout out to, of course, your favorite Wisconsin radio station. You can support WPR with your gift of $10 a month or more and ask for yours. You can do that at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
Because WPR comes on every time you start up your car, that's a sign that it's time to donate.
And you know, it's because of you. Whenever you hit that WPR, you know, preset on your station and a commercial airs because you're looking to avoid the commercials. And so that's why you appreciate Wisconsin Public Radio. That's your sign to donate.
Your donation makes the programs you enjoy on WPR possible and uninterrupted by commercials. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's easy. It only takes a few moments of your time, a gift of any amount, you know, say $10 a month.
That donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Give as generously as you're able to.
You know, when 10 more people support WPR programs in the next, 50 minutes, we will meet our goal. WPR is listener-powered. Listener-powered. That's why it's your gift right now. Your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. That's so important.
Show off your WPR support with every sip out of your 2022 WPR mug. Ask for yours with a gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not yet a sustainer, don't worry, you can do that right now. It's so easy to set up. What it is, you make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can do that safely and securely on our website at WPR.org, or you can give us a call, 888-202-2552.
We heard from Todd in Princeton who says, I appreciate community-oriented and community-supported programming. Thank you, Todd, so much for your gift. Joseph from Madison says, I've been a listener and a supporter for years. It's a hard habit to break. How about you? Join Joseph. Join Todd. Put a value on your WPR listening, then give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. Now, the State Assembly passed a resolution this week that could amend the Wisconsin Constitution to change the way that judges determine bail for people accused of violent crimes. Among its potential changes is requiring judges to consider the criminal history in setting a bail amount. Currently, that history can be used to set some terms of a person's bail to protect public safety. The amount, though, is tied to making sure a person appears for their court date. The measure passed with some bipartisan support in the Assembly, would still have to pass the state Senate, get approved in another session of the legislature, then would go to a statewide election ballot. The governor would not be able to veto it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see this change happen? Should judges have to take a person's criminal record into account when setting their bail terms? If you work in the justice system, what do you think of this idea? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Cindy Duco is a Republican representing the state's 99th Assembly District, which includes the city of Delafield. Representative Duco, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I gave a very short summary there, Representative Duco. Can you spell out more? What would change if this constitutional amendment ends up ultimately going through?
The biggest change is that a judge can look back at your past criminal violent conditions. Right now, they're supposed to only take into account the amount of money that it's going to take to get you back to court. There was a case in my district where someone had been drunk driving six different times and kept getting out on bail because they hadn't had their court date yet. And on their seventh time, they killed someone. Well, I think if they could have gone back and looked at their past history, they would have said, okay, you keep continuing to drink and drive. That's a dangerous offense. We probably need to set your bail higher. So this is something actually that judges are kind of doing right now, even though they shouldn't be. They take an oath to uphold the Constitution. And in talking to many judges, they say, you know, we all kind of take this into account very quietly when we do it. And so this would actually allow them to do this legally and give them one more tool to help keep everybody safe.
This has been an issue for a while. It's gotten obviously a lot more attention after the tragedy at the Waukesha Christmas Parade last year, six people killed by a driver, a number of other injured who had recently posted bail for a different case. I think everybody agreed the bail amount was too small. Did that give you a sense of heightened urgency to try to make this change?
Well, I was actually in the process of reintroducing this. I put this out in 2017 to begin with. And we were actually in the process of getting ready to reintroduce it when the Waukesha Christmas Parade tragedy happened. So we hurried up and did it rather quickly to make sure we could get it out there timely. When I listened to Sue Opper, the DA in Waukesha, read through Daryl Brooks's past criminal record, it took her almost 10 minutes. So I found it absolutely appalling that he was out on a $1,000 bond that he managed to make in just a few days.
One concern I think people have is that bail is historically a tool to make sure that people show up for their court appointment, that they come back to court, they don't want to risk losing that money, and that the idea of protecting public safety, maybe it's the wrong tool for the job. Do you think that there's a non-bail solution here?
Well, I do think in some situations we should not allow any bail. But we have six murdered people in Waukesha and another 70 that are injured that are going to say, you know what? Safety to the community is important. If you'd have looked at Daryl Brooks's past history, he just tried to run over the mother of his child the week before, and they think it's okay to just let him out on $1,000 bail. At some point in time, we have to sit back and say, okay, where do the victims have some rights here? And we've seemed to have skewed the scale far to the other side right now, and we need to bring it back.
Well, there is a process in Wisconsin where someone can be straight up held without bail. As you mentioned, it's currently a pretty high bar to clear for prosecutors. Would this amendment make that easier apart from, you know, potentially raising the bail amount itself?
You're talking about pretrial release, and that was put in 1980, and it has never been used. It is virtually a mini trial before you have trial. So in a case of a sexual assault, the victim would have to come in and testify in that pretrial release and then come back and testify again in the trial. And sexual assault victims, it's very difficult for them to come in and testify in court. We don't have anywhere near the manpower. We would have to make double our whole justice system just to do pretrial release. So it's unworkable. No one has used it in 40 years.
We're talking to Republican State Representative Cindy Duco right now about her resolution to require judges to consider a person's criminal history when establishing bail for people convicted of violent crimes. This would be a constitutional amendment. That process kicked off with a vote in the Assembly this week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? Does it make sense to you to take that criminal record into account when setting terms of bail, when setting bail amounts? Do you worry it could hold more people in jail unnecessarily? If you work in the justice system, do you think judges need more tools to keep certain people detained to protect public safety? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with State Representative Cindy Duco from Delafield. We're looking at her resolution to amend the state constitution to let judges take a person's criminal background into account when they're setting bail for someone accused of a violent crime. That measure passed the Assembly this week. There are still several more steps before it would go into effect and change the state constitution. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have thoughts on the idea, Representative Duco, why is this something that would need to be done as a constitutional amendment in Wisconsin rather than legislation?
I wish we could do it legislatively, because we would do it right now and we would be good to go. But unfortunately, it's in the Constitution how you set bail. So we don't have any other option but to have a constitutional amendment.
From your colleagues in the legislature, as I mentioned, there was at least some support from Democrats on this. Do you have a sense that it will pass the Senate, that has a good chance of ultimately passing this time around?
I'm very confident that it's going to pass the Senate. And I think there'll be some bipartisan support in the Senate also.
It's Brianna Caller now at 800-642-1234. Oop, looked like they are ready for a minute. They are not. Okay, we won't take the caller just yet. Representative Duco, there is concern from some people who are saying that they're worried that nonviolent offenders, lower level offenders, there might be some spillover. They might face higher bails that keeps them in jail, maybe even if they don't need to be for public safety. What would you say to them?
Well, that's why they have to look at your past criminal violent convictions. And that's spelled out very clearly. Nobody wants to keep a shoplifter in jail. All of our jails are very full. Our judges are well aware of what goes on in the jails, and they're well aware of the people that are overcrowded. So nobody wants to keep a shoplifter in jail or a low-level offender. We just don't have the time or the space or the money. I mean, everybody we hold costs us money. So it says, spells it out very clearly that you have to look at their violent criminal convictions.
And now we can bring out a caller. William is with us in Grant County. Hi, William.
Hi. I just wanted to say I don't think anybody should be held in jail if they are ready to defend themselves. So they need a fast, speedy trial. That's about it.
William, thanks for the call. I'm not sure what his first point was, but people have raised concerns about the speed at which people get to trial. And if people are detained because of a high bail for a long time, they could, in effect, be incarcerated for quite a while between charges and trial.
And unfortunately, our court system is backed up quite a bit now, especially due to COVID. Milwaukee just went back to working full-time in their court system a couple weeks ago. So last spring, we managed to pack the Bucks Arena and the Deer District, but we couldn't open up the courthouse 100% because of COVID. So Milwaukee's running about 3 years behind, and Waukesha is probably running about two, which is what most people are running. And I agree, we need to find a way to get to a speedier trial. And that probably would mean spending more money on the justice system, which the legislature's happy to take a look at that next session. Everybody is entitled to a speedy defense. And what's happening in Milwaukee right now, because they're not getting that, is they're letting people out. The crime rate in Milwaukee is horrific. Last year, we had over 10,000 cars stolen. And this year, we're already up 5% over that number.
William, thanks for the call. We'll go to Sean now in Racine. Sean, hi.
Hi there. I think, honestly, this is a horrible idea. And you're putting power into the hands of judges to deny people their due process. You're essentially saying, we're going to lock you up. And what you just said was for possibly 2 to 3 years before we can get to even offering you a trial. And I do not know how you don't see that as unbelievably draconian.
Sean, thanks for the call. Well, Representative Duco?
First of all, you're not locked up for 2 or 3 years. That's how long that they're behind in their court proceedings. And people are getting let out because I think it's 90 days that if they can't get you to some sort of a processing, that they're letting people out at that point. So no one is sitting there for 2 to 3 years. And after what happened in Waukesha, and you look at that, the violence that that man tried to run over the mother of his child, and he's out on $1,000 bail. I'm sorry, I'll tell you what, my community is screaming for this. We want to feel safe on our streets. We have so much crime coming out our way from Milwaukee. I mean, you can't walk into one of our stores where they won't tell you that they just had someone come in and shoplift and someone had a gun. And it's we've got a problem and we need to fix it. And every judge I've talked to, every attorney I've talked to, every law enforcement officer I've talked to said this is way past overdue.
We'll go next to Christina on the line in Waukesha. Christina, hi.
Hi there. I'm a little concerned that we're expecting our judges to have a crystal ball. We're putting a lot of pressure on them to be able to predict the future. You know, we're all looking at this individual who committed this atrocity in Waukesha with the benefit of hindsight, which is 2020. I'm not sure him committing a terrible act against the mother of his child with his vehicle is any sort of prediction of the horrifying situation and carnage that he caused in Waukesha.
Christina, thanks for the call. A lot of discretion maybe she's worried about in the hands of judges, Representative Duco.
Well, judges already have that discretion. And first of all, that gentleman, it was not just one incident. It took Sue Opper 10 minutes to read his rap sheet. So he has a long lifetime criminal history. And when you're looking at someone like that, yeah, when you look at a 20-year criminal history, that's a pretty good predictor that he's probably going to do something again. Because in 20 years, he hasn't managed to change.
Christina, thanks for the call. Representative Duco, in our last minute or so, can you talk about the progress of this legislation now? As we mentioned, passed the Assembly, you mentioned you have high hopes in the Senate. Timeline for it coming before voters, if successful.
We hopefully will bring it back next January. We'll see what the schedule looks like then. And then the earliest it could be on the ballot would be April of 23. And if we can't quite, there's a timeline that you have to pass this so they can get the ballots printed. There's just some technical things that have to happen. And if we can't get it passed in time to get it on the April ballot, it would be on the ballot in fall.
Representative Duco, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
You too. That's Cindy Duco, Republican state representative from Delafield. She talked with us about a measure she sponsored to change the way judges are required to assess cash bail for people accused of violent crimes. The resolution passed the state assembly this week. It still faces more votes and steps, as we just heard, before it would make it on a statewide ballot as part of the state constitutional amendment process. Next up, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We'll meet the author of a new cookbook that answers a lot of our most pressing questions about cooking, like, do I really have to buy an expensive knife? First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Molly Stentz is with me. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting conversations. We count on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
And here's something you might not know, but listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. It's really why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. You can do that online at WPR.org or call us 888-202-2552.
We're off to a good start this hour. For four more people to join in now by the end of the hour to hit our goal. I think we could do that. I think we can hopefully, with your help, exceed it. Thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't yet, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's your gift that funds the programs you enjoy.
And that last conversation, this is something we do often on the Ideas Network, on the morning show here on Central Time. We talk to a state lawmaker who's at the center of a new legislation, in this case, a new constitutional amendment. They explain what they want to change, why they're doing it, and as we just heard, you get a chance to call in, ask questions, raise concerns about it. These are the kinds of conversations you've been able to count on the Ideas Network for years and years now.
WPR is listener supported. That means it's your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 that makes all the topics you tune in for each day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and make your gift.
Maybe you pay your bills online. Well, you can support WPR in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer.
And the cool thing is you get to choose. You can choose a monthly amount that works for you. Maybe that's $10, maybe that's $20. You set up automatic ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card. You can do that safely and securely online at WPR.org, or you can give us a call, 888-202-2552. It's easy to get started, and your support of WPR will always be current.
When you support Wisconsin Public Radio, you're supporting the Wisconsin idea to spread the resources of the university system across the entire state. Not every state has this kind of thing. Not every state has the high-quality programs you enjoy daily here on the Ideas Network.
WPR is one of the great things about Wisconsin. It's something to take pride in. Join forces with so many of us across Wisconsin right now that make a contribution. You can do that at WPR.org or call us 888-202-2552.
Think about the things you spend money on every day. The coffee, takeout, that adds up. It's easy to spend on things that are an important part of your routine.
Snacks are important.
Definitely.
But so is Wisconsin Public Radio. We are a part of your routine. We're your news source. We're your conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend some money today. Start with a dollar a day. Heck, that's just $30 a month. You can do that at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
Looking for four more people to hit our goal this hour. And hey, you can show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for the new WPR mug. It's got that cool sun and pine tree design on it. It's yours when you give $10 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you. Thank you so much. Today is the day you could increase your support of WPR. Maybe that's $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from James and Larson, who says, as a regular listener, WPR has become my source for continuing education and insight. And Emily from Eau Claire says, I give because I listen to WPR every day, and it's awesome. Pretty straightforward. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, James. How about you? You count on us for great conversations each and every day here on Central Time, here on the Ideas Network. We really do count on you to help pay for it all. Make your gift right now online at WPR.org or call. Takes just a few minutes at 888-202-2552, and thanks so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Up next, a food writer, co-author of a new cookbook, answers your questions about how to become a better home cook in this week's edition of Food Friday. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Molly Stentz joins me now. We are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
You know, listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs you count on, programs like Central Time. It's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Looking for just two more people to join in during the next half hour. We will meet our goal when that happens. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. Make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, we're so close. You know, Rob, what happens in the rest of the world matters to us. It's why the Ideas Network is so important. We talk with experts in all kinds of fields from all over the world.
We get the news from around the world to our own backyard. Because you value being an informed citizen, make a gift to the station that keeps you connected at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I like to think we also live in a generous society. You know, we're quick to help a neighbor or a colleague in need. We chip in for good causes. You can continue that tradition of generosity when you support WPR.
If you've never given to WPR before, step up and give right now. When you do, you'll be funding the programs you and so many other people benefit from every day. Many first-time donors give $100 or maybe $10 a month, the amount totally up to you. The important thing is to make your first ever gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The news, conversations, and music you enjoy on WPR pair well with a morning cup of coffee or afternoon tea. This member drive, enjoy your favorite hot beverage and show off your support for your favorite radio station. Ask for the new WPR mug when you give $10 a month or more. This white ceramic mug features a design that'll showcase your love for Wisconsin's nature and WPR. Ask for yours now when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
You can pick up that mug and support great public radio online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Molly Stentz. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs that you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
However you choose to give, thank you. Your support is so powerful. And there's still something else you can do to help. Encourage a friend to join the WPR community.
Yeah, spread the word. Tell your friends and family that you support Wisconsin Public Radio. Encourage them to listen, first of all, if they don't already, because then if they're listening and you hear something cool, you can talk to them about it, and they'll have heard it, and they can talk back to you about it. That's a great first step. And then encourage them to give and support Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now and encourage other people to do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've probably made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now take the next step. Make a habit of donating. It's a good habit, one you can be proud of. Get started right now. You can help out with a donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Knocking on the door of our goal right now. Need just one more gift. 20 minutes left to get there. I think we could go over our goal for the hour, which is always fantastic. You can help us do that, meet and exceed our goal. WPR is listener power. That's why your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, we are so close. We can definitely do this. And when you call, when you make that pledge of support, you can take a sip out of a 2022 WPR mug. Ask for one with your gift of $10 a month or more. You can do that online, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Gloria in Oconomowoc says, I love Central Time with Rob Ferret and all the programs on WPR. Gloria, thank you so much. And Jean in Ellison Bay says, I donate because I love to listen. Thanks to both of you. Glad to hear from you. How about you? Your turn to give, your turn to support great public radio in Wisconsin. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A new cookbook answers 100 questions the authors say they hear a lot from home cooks. Like, why does my guacamole never taste like the guac at Mexican restaurants? What's the difference between a $30 knife and a $150 knife? And should I cook with MSG? We're going to hear the answers to some of those questions on this week's edition of Food Friday. Matt Rodbard is editor-in-chief of Taste Magazine, co-author of the new cookbook, Food IQ, 100 questions, answers, and recipes to raise your cooking smarts. Also, I learned now, a graduate of UW-Madison. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. What's up? Nice to be here.
Yeah, good to have you back in Wisconsin.
Love Madison. Absolutely.
Well, in your job as a food writer, I imagine like anybody who meets you probably comes up with some kind of question about their home cookery. Can you talk about the inspiration for Food IQ and how you started to decide which were the biggest questions to answer?
You know, Rob, narrowing down to 100 was difficult, but I worked with my co-author, Daniel Hostman, who's a chef, and I'm a food writer, and we came together. The main goal of Food IQ is giving confidence to the home cook. And we think that home cooks need this kind of confidence because there's an understanding that food is at the center of all of our lives. You're doing a show called Food Friday. Like, we're not teaching how to boil water. Everyone is advanced beyond that. So we find these 100 questions that have derived from the questions that real foodies, we're calling them foodie 2.0, ask us all the time.
And you're not, one thing I like about this is you're not snobby about this. You're like, microwave? Yeah, sometimes the microwave is great. Like sometimes those easy shortcuts are the right way to do it.
Absolutely, Rob. You know, the fact of the matter is food writers are snobby, and we need to check ourselves because we talk down sometimes. And honestly, I feel that cooking should be diplomatic. It should bring people together, and using the microwave it's an amazing tool. You should use it. You should cook with frozen vegetables, like the frozen pea. Honestly, you have amazing farmers market at the square, and the produce there is gorgeous, but really frozen peas are honestly going to beat out those fresh May peas like every single time.
You've got a structure in the book. You've got a question and answer and then a recipe to go with it. One is pretty straightforward. How can I make awesome mac and cheese, baked mac and cheese like I get at restaurants? And you've got a recipe, a great mac and cheese recipe where you've shared it with us. It's at WPR.org/Food Friday. What is the secret to a great homemade mac and cheese?
It's a great question. We wanted to answer this. We also wanted to give a little food culture. The idea of the foodie 2.0, as I mentioned, is not just about cooking it, but it's about learning about the Black history of mac and cheese. And we interviewed Therese Nelson, who runs this amazing site, The Black Culinary History. So the book is chock full of interviews with experts, not just Daniel and I, but over 25 of those. The secret, you ask, it's eggs. You add eggs to mac and cheese and it stabilizes it. It gives you that kind of architecture, you know, that like high cubes of mac and cheese that you'll get at those wonderful restaurants. That's the key.
Right. And yeah, so it's baked and it's got the egg to hold it together. So when I'm serving it up, I'm going to end up with almost like a casserole form that holds its cubic shape, not that splat of noodles that I usually get when I make it at home.
100%. And you know, you're going to bake it again and crisp the top and get that nice crispy crust. But exactly as you said, it's using those cubes, but using eggs as a stabilizer. If you used, like, we love box mac and cheese. It's amazing. But if you put that into the oven and tried to bake it, it would just splatter. So it's having a stabilizer, and eggs is the answer. And check it out. Yeah.
Check out that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. It is Food Friday. We're talking to Matt Rodbard, co-author of the new book, Food IQ. He and his co-author tackle 100 questions with recipes to go along with them. Let's talk a little bit about gear, Matt. There's a whole section on this that answers questions like, do I need to buy blank? And one of those blanks is a more expensive knife. What are we thinking about if we're deciding how much to plunk down on our main kitchen knife?
You know, knives are central to a kitchen. We know that. What we say is, you know, knives are about having a knife that feels great in the hand, not maybe buying those knife blocks that have 5 or 6 different knives, but going one by one. Listen, I have a knife that I bought in Tokyo for $35. It has a plastic handle. I use it all the time. I also have an amazing Kramer knife that costs $200 that I was given as a gift. We're not saying you need to buy X type of knife. What we are saying, though, is you need to sharpen your knives, because a lot of times you walk into a kitchen, the knives aren't sharpened, and that's going to cause a lot of problems. They're going to cause a lot of, like, the reason the onions make you cry, it's not because the onions are angry at you. It's because you're using a dull knife. It's shattering the molecules of the onion, and it's spraying out all of this basically sulfur. And we talk about onions a lot in the book, and really having that sharp knife will help you, you know, defy that.
I want to check out another recipe you've shared with us. You tackled the secret of making a great hamburger. What is the secret? What kind of tips do you have for people?
Like, I have to shout out Plaza. You know, I had a few Plazas. I had a few Dottie's dumplings. Dottie, sorry, mispronouncing it. But I feel Madison already has great burgers. Like, so I don't want to ever front, like, you guys don't know what you're doing with burgers, okay? Just to be clear.
But you went to Oklahoma, I think, for your burger secrets this time, which is okay.
We did. Yeah. Okay. We'll get back to the book. So we have an Oklahoma smash burger, and we really feel like this is the best burger out there. You start with really thinly sliced onions that you put in a little bit of salt for a couple minutes, drain out that water. You put that thinly sliced on the griddle, flat top griddle. and then you put a ball of meat on top of it. I like a 80-20, 80% lean, 20% fat. Personally like that. It gives you a lot of fat content, fat's flavor. And then you smash it. You're smashing the meat patty into the onions that have been crisped. Ooh. You flip it, and you add a slice of cheese on top of that that oniony, crispy layer. You do it for another couple minutes, and there you are, medium rare Oklahoma smash burger.
Find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. Okay, another question I threw out in the setup there. MSG had a bad rap at restaurants for a long time. You say we should overcome our aversion to MSG in the United States. Why is that?
Well, thank you for asking this. There's a long history of xenophobia around MSG. Chinese restaurant syndrome was written about in JAMA in the 1990s, and that has been debunked. MSG is everywhere, and it's in snack foods. And so to kind of pinpoint MSG being in Chinese food is incorrect. So we clear that up first. But more importantly, we talk about cooking with MSG, because you can't just sprinkle MSG on everything like salt. What you have to do is have a real ratio of MSG and salt, and then use that to enhance the flavors of your cooking. So what we call for is a quarter teaspoon of MSG for every tablespoon of kosher salt. You've got this little magic. It could be like its own shaker, and you add that to a sauce, or you could add it to some sautéed vegetables, and it really enhances the flavor without tasting too salty. It's really. Do you have MSG in your kitchen?
I don't, and my wife fears it a little, but maybe I'll talk her into giving it a try again.
There is fear around it, but as I said, it's definitely a lot of bunk information, because it really is in the cooking that you're going to have pretty much everywhere.
Now, getting back to gear a little bit here, you go kind of item by item with the question, should I buy this? And there's so much out there. If I bought every potential kitchen tool, I'd need to build a bigger kitchen, which I couldn't afford because I spent all my money on kitchen tools. When we're assessing the question, do I need blank? Like, how do we figure out if this is the thing we need, or it's the thing that's going to sit over there and collect dust?
Great question. We are a society of toys and gear. We love it. It's fun to buy it. We've pinpointed 10 pieces of equipment that we feel are essential in the kitchen. One of them is a wok. Buying a wok is, you can get it for $25, a carbon steel wok, and you can use it for so many different cooking techniques, not just stir fries as you'd assume, but you can cook pasta in it. Just such a great piece of equipment. One more I'll give you is the mandolin slicer. Have you ever used one of those?
I never have. I'm kind of scared, I'm not going to lie.
Me too. I'm honestly scared too. I mean, really, like, I'm not like the most confident mandolin guy, but I would say, to be honest, cause here we go. I'm not trying to be a snob. Like, I'm admitting that I'm not great at certain things. That's like part of food IQ. Like, we don't know everything. But I do know that when I'm careful, I use it to slice cauliflower for a raw cauliflower salad. And it's so perfect. It's like thinly sliced uniform. They call it soigné in the back of the kitchens. It's like the perfect way to slice. And, when you're having a dinner party, use that mandolin. And it's just really impressive to slice like that.
Cool. Now, you went through 100 questions here. Did you run across stuff, Matt, where you realized you might have been doing it wrong all along?
All the time. I mean, it's definitely like, listen, like I Daniel Holzman, my co-author, was instrumental in showing me the light in many things. One of them is how to get crispy vegetables. So I asked him, like, how do you, like, I thought it was all about heat. Like, how do you get crispy Brussels sprouts? Like, at your favorite restaurant. I got to shout out Tori Miller, friend of mine, best chef in Madison. Love that guy. So how do you get those crispy Brussels sprouts like at Tori Miller's restaurants? Well, it's not about high heat. It's about adding more oil. And like, it's not that like hard to process that, but like, you have to know that for every pound of Brussels sprouts, you're using a quarter cup of oil. Now, granted, you don't want to cook like that every single day, but it's wonderful once in a while to have those perfectly crisp Brussels sprouts. So like, I was doing it wrong. And listen, I was cooking with canned beans. And like, listen, I'm okay with cooking with canned beans and canned chickpeas, but Daniel showed me that, soaking your beans for a few hours and doing it all from the bag of like Rancho Gordo, to me, was like enlightening.
And Matt, I got to ask, you answered 100 questions. It seems like a sequel. The path would be pretty obvious. Are you starting to collect more questions for another round?
We are always collecting questions. Check out our website, foodiq.co. We do a weekly newsletter that you should sign up for, and we address lots of questions that were not in the book in that. And, you know, we're thinking about maybe focusing on the grocery store. Food shopping is at the center of our lives, and there's always questions at the grocery store. One of the questions we recently did that's not in the book is, how do I cook without taste? Because, you know, with COVID and Omicron, a lot of folks lost their sense of taste and the sense of smell. And we went over that in a question. So check out the website, and we have lots of answers there.
Matt, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Rob, awesome to talk to you. And you know what? I'm just going to say it. Go Badgers. Let's do it.
Matt Rodbert is the editor-in-chief of Taste Magazine. He talked to us about the new cookbook he co-authored. It's called Food IQ, 100 Questions, Answers and Recipes to Raise Your Cooking Smarts. Find the recipes we talked about today at WPR.org/Food Friday. Got some comfort food there for you, a burger and a baked mac and cheese that sounds really good. Well, right now, here's something that sounds really good. We've got the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive going on. We already hit our goal for the hour, and we are looking to exceed it. Molly Stentz is with me, and we're here to ask you to invest just a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
You may not know it, but listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs you count on. It's really why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
One gift over our goal this hour with 5 minutes to go. Let's see how far past we can get. Make your gift to support the conversations you count on each and every day.
WPR programs are listener powered. It's your donation that will make the difference right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Another great Food Friday conversation there. I've learned so much. I'm such a better cook because I've had this front row seat to Food Friday. I've learned a lot of really practical stuff. This conversation, no exception. It's the kind of conversation that you could take home and use over the weekend. You can count on here on Central Time.
WPR. We are listener supported. You've heard me say that, but do you know what it means? It means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's your donation that makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. You choose the amount and make your gift.
WPR pairs well with a morning cup of coffee or afternoon tea. This member drive, enjoy your favorite hot beverage and show off your support for your favorite public radio station. Ask for the new 2022 WPR mug when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending, I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
You can give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Molly Stentz. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for all your favorite WPR programs. That's why your support right now is so important. Give $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
When you became a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important first step. But now, take the next step and become a financial supporter.
That's a really important step because WPR relies so much on listener support. And here's a great thing. It's easy to give. It takes just a few minutes of your time online or on the phone. You just let us know how much you want to give, how you want to pay. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, and that's about it. It's over really quickly. So make the decision of how much you want to give, maybe $10 a month, then head over and make your gift online at WPR.org or call 888 202-2552. Looking for your support in this winter member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your very important gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As the donor, you decide how much to give. We've heard from 11 people so far. Let's get in a few more in the next couple minutes. You can decide the amount. Maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $200 a month that's right for you.
Might be right what you spend every month for takeout or maybe for entertainment, things you enjoy, things that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount's right for you, and then you make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener powered, so that's why it's your gift. Your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's so important right now.
When you make your gift, if you give $10 a month or more, ask for the new Wisconsin Public Radio mug. A great way to show your support while you enjoy your favorite beverage. Chris in La Crosse says, finally in a financial position to be able to support WPR. I've listened for nearly 30 years, ever since I graduated college. I'm grateful to be able to support something that's been a huge part of my life. Chris, thank you so much. How about you? Make your gift right now in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.